Hello there. It's Edward Marlowe, and this is the For Those Who Inquired podcast. I wanted to open with hello there because Obi-Wan Kenobi's back, Neil.
He is?
Yeah.
I didn't even know he'd left.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen are going to be doing Kenobi. It comes out in May. We just saw the trailer. Have you seen it yet?
I obviously have not. I've had a few things kind of going on the last few weeks that's prohibited me from doing the Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
But I'm different than you. I sleep about 6 to 8 hours a day, and I know you never sleep.
So
the two things
not
that are
much.
Different. So I haven't really been keeping up with that.
I wanted to open with that because, Neil, you and I have not spoken via podcast over the last 3 weeks, and here's why.
And my luck ran out tonight.
Yeah, sorry,
so,
Neil.
Yeah.
Hey, you drove your happy ass over here. It's your fault.
Hey, I saw Ryan, your buddy, and he said to be sure and give you an extra hard time.
Yeah, sure.
So that's all that's about. Normally, I would never do that.
That's totally fine.
Yeah, okay.
That's the deal is everybody likes to hang out with me away from me. They like to be like, yeah, I'll see Ed later. This is terrible.
Okay.
Why am I spending my time doing this? I digress into this situation because over the last 3 weeks, clearly you've been busy. We all have, actually, with work. But you specifically, you and I spoke right before the OVC tournament. Right after that, you went into a Sweet 16 in Lexington at Rupp Arena for girls basketball, which was terrific. We'll dive into that a little bit later on. And then... we've had an NCAA tournament selection show. The women, Murray State's women, have been selected for an NIT. We've had commitments. Baseball's back. Tom Brady's unretired. We've turned back the clock 50. What is going on? This Murray's boys have made their own Sweet 16.
Yeah.
They play later this week. Like, it's crazy.
It's Super Thursday in Murray. I mean, you got Murray boys at 5. You got the Murray State women and the WNIT at 7. And then at 8:40, you got the Racers against San Francisco. I mean, it's an insane few hours. Here's what's going to happen, just so people across town know. Tons of people are going to be calling in sick Thursday. Oh, I've got whatever that is that's going around. It could be COVID. I'm going to stay home at least through Sunday, and I'll be back Monday, provided I don't have anything really bad. So
it's like super.
You're going to have a lot of that. Won't be anybody there.
It's like Super Bowl Thursday.
It is.
If you really think about it.
Yeah.
I was laughing with somebody earlier, if you wanted to rob a bank in Murray, Thursday afternoon is a prime opportunity.
Yeah, but bank robbers like basketball too. They're going to be like, well, I would rob the bank, but I want to see these games.
Yeah.
So I'm not robbing the bank today.
Yeah, I got to get on my phone and stream everything
right.
for six hours.
Oh, hang on. He hit this. This is a holdup, though. And then they're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe he made that shot.
What was I saying?
I've forgotten.
I forgot, too. It's unbelievable. I want to do a quick recap of Murray State's experience in Evansville for the women and for the men. You and I made some predictions about all OVC first and second team. Those pretty much came to fruition.
They did. Great job.
You and I pretty much nailed that. There were a couple, you know. Grayson Murphy. Okay, cool.
I thought he'd make it. Didn't think he wouldn't, but I just didn't have him on my list.
Yeah, we talked about that,
yeah.
And you know he played well. But very, very quick recap because a lot's just obviously happened since then. Evansville was an incredible experience. The women, unfortunately, come up a little bit short, but their season clearly didn't end. Neither did Tennessee Tech's.
Right.
Even though Tech lost in the OVC championship, Belmont was a 12 seed. In the NCAA tournament, and then you had both Tennessee Tech and Murray State earn WNIT bids. Huge for the OVC and for the exiting teams of Belmont and Murray State headed to the Valley.
And also Austin Peay gets a WBI Invitational, Women's Basketball Invitational.
Essentially their CBI.
So that's four teams from the same league. That's a lot better than the OVC has been in a while in terms of getting four in.
And I thought that's a lot of respect to give a 12 seed to Belmont, which won a game last year, and to give three other teams postseason bids, which you have to accept.
Yes.
But to give those bids and accept them, four teams, it was your top four teams. And,
yes.
And they were all good at different times
they
of the
were.
Season.
Yeah.
The one thing I wanted to get into with the men is that Evansville was pretty electric for the women's games. I had to work. They were earlier games. But was there for the semifinal and the championship, covering those for the Associated Press. And unbelievable, Neil. What an unbelievable performance. First of all, on Friday night, you come out to a 17-1 lead. That was it. I mean, I hate to say that, but
it was kind of over from there on.
Yeah.
You know, SEMO made it a little closer late, but that was over.
And there's nothing much else to say about that. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say that. I think SEMO has a lot that it can build on moving forward.
Yes.
I like Brad Korn's program. Got some key guys coming back next year.
He gets a big to replace Manny Patterson.
Yeah.
He gets a big transfer. They're my pick to win the league.
Yeah. And because of how good they are offensively. Yes. And again, that's no disrespect to Moorhead, who I think can win 25 games again next year.
They could.
Because they're going to continue to wrap around Jani Broom.
We'll see.
Yeah. I mean,
because I'm sure that has to be re-recruited. And they've had a bunch of defections already, not from anybody that had a lot of minutes for them, like last year when they lost three of their top seven players, but replaced them very nicely. But Broom's the key. If they keep him, it'll be them in Southeast Missouri at the top of that league.
I totally agree. You then shift your focus, again, as we speak on Moorhead State, to a championship game that was one for the ages.
Oh,
just an absolute rock fight.
Yeah.
Absolute rock fight. I don't know what else to say about it other than the fact that Murray got off to a terrific start, 12-2. You're thinking, okay, finally the Racers have broken free from this Moorhead team that causes them troubles defensively, and then Moorhead immediately answers.
And in the other two meetings, you have the Jani Broom, K.J. Williams, and you know, get the old, well, you can't stop Jani Broom, you only hope to contain him. And the Racers contained him. He had double-digit points and double-digit rebounds on average, but he didn't go nuts until Saturday.
Yeah, he went nuts in the championship. Nuts,
and we couldn't contain him, couldn't stop him. Everything he threw up there, that one-footed fade.
Yeah.
It's an impossible shot to block. No one in the OVC blocks that shot.
Nope.
Hardly no one in the NBA would block that shot.
KJ Williams is 6'10 and was a defensive beast in the regular season, especially as a pilferer. Really good at stealing the basketball. And he got a couple steals in the championship game. Yeah. But they doubled him the entire game. He picked a perfect time to score his fourth point late in the game to put the Racers up magnificently, 65-61, which at that point felt like a huge spread in my mind. It's like, oh, we got a two-possession lead?
Right.
Wow, holy crap. Well,
for Saturdays, Ed, that's the best we've been in a month.
Yeah.
Normally, we're clawing from behind at that time of the game.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
We got a massive 4-point lead at this point. Instead of down 7, down 9, I'm not sure how we're going to come back and win this. It's like, ah, this is in the bag pretty much.
Down – what is the – I want to reflect on that game just a little bit before we move forward because I think it's important going into the NCAA tournament. What was the biggest moment in that game? Was it Tevin Brown's block or was it Daquan Smith's 2 3-pointers to tie the game at 20-all?
Well, it's kind of two schools of thought on that because if you – if Daquan doesn't do it and you get nothing on that and that turns into a bigger run, the Racers might not have enough to come back from that kind of a deficit the way Moorhead State was playing. In other words, if those aren't 2 threes for the Racers and they turn into 4 to 6 points for Moorhead State, I'm not sure that they come back and win. But Daquan making those shots when no one else was getting offense for the most part, at least during that stretch, were huge. But that set the stage for Tevin's block slash rebound that will live on for years and years. Is he'll be remembered for the 3-point shooting in terms of his career, but in terms of one play, well, at least for the moment, he'll be known for that. He still has some basketball to play, though.
Yeah, his you just that second half, Neil. I think about my game story often. Just in the last 2 or 3 weeks, just it's very fresh. That second half, Neil, nobody had more than a 2-possession lead at any point.
Yeah.
At any point.
It's a great game.
And just when the Racers thought they were going to be comfortable, Trey Hollowell, former Hopkinsville native, we talk about this recruiting, grad transfer from Wofford, just buries 2 threes. And that's, I mean, just
well, the one
to close
was crazy.
The game. Crazy.
The Hills on him as best as he can be on him without fouling him, has a hand in his face, and he turns around and banks it in.
Banked it.
Turnaround bank in. Not just a bank in. He turned around and banked it in. I mean, Juice, the look on Juice's face is like, I really don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't
and
tackle
Burns,
him.
And Burns, I believe, was the one defending it, coming over the top.
Yeah, yeah. And he's still, it's one of those things. And then Tevin made the suggestion, hey, get a little extra size on him when they got in the huddle on a timeout and put me on him next time. And oh my, did that work out.
Yeah. So let's fast forward just a little bit now. Although I do want to ask you this, were you surprised? And I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all. I thought KJ, Obviously, KJ Juice and Tevin were absolutely terrific in the OVC tournament. Were you surprised to see Justice Hill as the MVP of the tournament?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why I think that happened. I thought he had a great tournament, but I would have voted for Tevin Brown. I think Brown had the best tournament.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't vote for Tevin because those things come out online to me and to Kenny, and we're on the radio.
Yeah.
We're not able to vote. I don't check my email till later in the night when the game's over and see I have an email to vote. So I didn't vote. Kenny didn't vote. I don't know if there's other people who didn't, but because of that, there's two votes that Tevin would have had.
Yeah.
I'm happy for Juice, though. Juice had a terrific tournament, but I think for the two games, Tevin, you have to realize Tevin didn't score 20 points a game
the entire
in 2022.
Conference. The entire conference slate.
Not at all. His last 20-point game was 22 against Auburn. Then that weekend, boom, boom, back-to-back 20-point games. He was just amazing.
Yeah, he played terrific.
Yeah, he was great, and Hill was good. But I thought Tevin probably deserved it a little bit more. But I'm happy for Juice. Think of the year that Juice went through with his health and everything.
Yeah.
And then the hard work he put in. And if you think Tevin Brown was jealous that Juice got it, you are 100% wrong.
Yeah.
He was so happy. I mean, they're big buds, and I guarantee he's thrilled to death that he won that award. And I am too.
The only thing that I will say, I'm not trying to disparage anything, but that I will say I think the last 20 minutes of Justice Hill's play against Morehead completely changed the complexion of that game.
Yeah, he did. And that might have been where the people who did put him ahead, they may have kind of posted on that. Like, they don't win the championship if he doesn't do that. And that's a good point.
He changed speeds. He scored two or three very difficult layups in the final 4 minutes
of
that game.
One of them on Broome.
On Broome.
My thinking is like,
should have been an and one.
Don't go. No. Then he just scored. I don't know how he did it.
He also had the key leak and steal when Morehead had actually turned their turnovers down.
Uh-huh.
Morehead turned the ball over significantly against Belmont. They turned the ball over 9 times against Murray.
Yeah.
And Murray pressured. It wasn't like Murray just sat in a half court and waited. Yeah. They pressured.
Well,
Morehead had a good game plan.
Point of emphasis, I promise you, was with Preston and his team, and I don't know it, but I would almost guarantee on the whiteboard, if we turn it over like we did in the other two games, because points off turnovers decided both games, we're going to get cooked. And it may not even be close. So I think his team knew, we get a bunch of turnovers tonight, then we're done. We're not going to have a chance.
Yeah, not even going to have a chance.
They did a great job.
A lot of this a moot point. Morehead State not playing a tournament, it seems. And I haven't seen them.
They're not. And I'm friends with Chuck Mraz, Morehead State play-by-play guy. He and I talk quite a bit. I don't think it was kind of their the desire, from what I understand, was really not there to probably go on. And, they had a fairly veteran team. And sometimes you have some teams that if you're really young and you're disappointed in losing your conference championship game, those tournament experiences postseason, not in the NCAA, are good. But there are some teams it's not good for, and I think they thought they're kind of beat up. Let's just move on to next season.
Well, and they have a lot to be proud of.
Yes.
Speaking of that, we're moving on to a discussion about the NCAA tournament. There's no point in breaking down the bracketology. I know you and I had received a couple of text messages about our thoughts. What should we say? What are we going to prognosticate and figure out, like, where the races are headed? I had read quite a bit of bracketology, and I had some guesses.
You did a good job. You almost nailed it 100%.
I didn't
believe it.
No, I really read too much. The one thing I will say this, I was not convinced the Racers were an 8-9. I kept seeing so many discussions about ESPN has them in an 8-9, 8-9, 8-9. I was like, that mathematically just is not possible. Now, granted, there were probably a few late season losses to some 6-line and 7-line teams that helped put the Racers in the 7 seed. However, by the end of Sunday, right before the bracket was revealed, there were a lot of metrics that had the Racers as a high 5-line and a low 6-line. So I just thought the law of averages would bring them to a 7.
Right.
It was just a simple guess. The only reason I even guessed San Francisco is because I know that the NCAA Tournament Committee loves good mid-major matchups in the first round, and they love pitting mid-majors. 13 seed and 12 seed mid-majors. Take a look at Vermont, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. That game has a chance to be freaking phenomenal. They like to put mid-majors in these tantalizing situations. Like, ooh, maybe you can get that Power 5 team. Why don't you go kind of like what they did with the Racers and Johns? Like, oh, you want to smash Marquette? Go for it. So they did. So it's like they like to do that, and they like to make life, I don't want to say miserable for mid-majors, but they want to pit you against tough and equal teams, and I think they've done that with 10-seeded San Francisco.
Yeah, and people have also discussed that they think it's horrible that you put one mid-major against another. But here is the positive about it. Either our conference or their conference are going to get guaranteed two shares.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. And if you went up against Arkansas or something, and you each lost first round games, you get the one share. So it's good for the league, and one of the leagues is going to get that two-win share guaranteed. Maybe more, but a guaranteed two. So there is that positive of it. But it is a really good matchup. I mean, just look at the net rankings, 21 and 22.
Yep.
And then they're so close in so many areas. They play eight. The Racers play about eight for the most part. It's a really intriguing matchup with teams that are similar in some ways.
Were you surprised to see the Racers picked as the – and don't get me wrong, Kentucky gets the primary matchup as the 215 time slot. But are you surprised to see the Racers get the 840 time slot? That's usually reserved for marquee matchup.
I think some of that thinking was you get a West Coast crowd who's interested in the game. And they may not be as much with a Kentucky-St. Peter's, which if it goes it's supposed to go probably a 15, 17, 20-point game. If Kentucky plays its best, that's what you're looking at.
Yeah.
And I think they're thinking the most intriguing matchup here, the one that people will hang around and see and get a West Coast crowd on because they'll be watching, is Murray State in San Francisco. Last time I looked at the spread online, it was like a one, and I haven't seen it any different than a one way or the other.
It's right now, it's 9:39 p.m. on March 14th. It's a 1.5-point favorite.
So it's 1.5.
Okay. 1.5-point favorite from Murray.
Okay, so that's switched a little bit.
It's a 3-point swing right now in one day.
But if that's a sports book, then you have to realize those lines shift based on making 50% of the money
bet
one way or the other.
Yep.
That's why the line shifts. So I assume people were loading up one way and they go, okay, we're going to push it the other way and get the money spread out.
And so to me, it's an even game.
I think it is.
Neutral floor.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, from a factors perspective, we can break down, and I do want to break down just a few factors. It's hard to really just guess metrics and just be like, well, this is going to swing out this way. This is going to swing out this way. But from a KenPom perspective, you have a San Francisco team that is 21 in the KenPom. They are 45th in adjusted offense, 19 in adjusted defense. Defense is the number one thing that I think Matt McMahon and his staff have talked about since late Sunday afternoon, that San Francisco's defense is probably their big calling card. What they're really, really good at is defending the three-point line.
Yeah.
They're really good at that. They're also really good at loading up and taking a lot of threes. They make a lot. They take a lot. They don't shoot it amazingly from three. Of course, I say that, and then they're going to go 10 for 20 on Thursday night. But mathematically, if you're looking for some advantages, you know, they really space the floor, try to get down inside to a couple of their really nice big men, and then they have a terrific point guard in, I believe it's Jamari Bouye.
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Well, I was on the other page.
It's Bouye.
It is Bouye.
Bouye. But hey, you know what? That's a great headline. Bouye. I love that.
Yeah, Bouye and Shabazz is the way they pronounce the two guards.
Bouye is pretty phenomenal. He leads the team in scoring. He also averages about 5 rebounds, 4.5 assists a game. He's pretty good.
You mentioned the three-point shooting. They're 12th in three-point field goals attempted per game at 899, tied for 13th in three-point field goals made per game, and 14th in defending the three. So the perimeter defense for each team are going to be major factors in this one.
Major factors. And then I think the second major factor is with that perimeter defense comes interior rebounding, particularly defensively. They are a very good, metrically, defensive rebounding team. As a matter of fact, I think they're top 50 in defensive rebounding. I could be a little off on that.
But that's the Racer strength as well is rebounding. And that's in games where they haven't been as good offensively, the rebounding, second chance points, points off turnovers, those are the two things that have carried them to victory.
A couple of metrics have played out. Haslam metrics, the Bart Torvik numbers have this being a buzzer beater game. It's just the basketball math.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a buzzer beater. I mean,
I've seen one. They're fun to call, Ed. I've called one in the NCAA tournament.
Way to rub it in for me.
And it is fun. But it
it's
all
heart stopping.
But it is also because you know if either way if you make it or you don't, because I've had it on the other end in the NIT, a chance sure. to go to the semifinals and you get a midcourt 3-point shot
where he traveled. Oh, you mean boom. you mean Trey Freeman from half court?
Yeah,
I'll never forget that shot.
Yeah, well, I didn't see him travel because I couldn't see his feet. He went right in front of us and. I think it was TJ guarding him.
Yeah,
you know, did everything he could, but push him out of bounds, and the kid made a great shot.
It was a great shot. Yeah. I'm not going to knock it.
But this one, you know, there'll probably be some buzzer beaters when you have this many games over the week. There'll probably be some, and you just hope that if you're on one end of it, that you're on the positive side of that.
The one thing that I will say, at 24-9, they've played a terrific schedule. They have some awesome wins. They opened the season with. Matter of fact, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. They went 13-1 in their first 14 games, and they lost literally a 1-point game at neutral site Grand Canyon in the Phoenix Suns Arena.
Yeah.
They're good. There's no question about that. They're really, really good. Played in a tough West Coast conference that had, you know, Gonzaga and St. Mary's, you know, and they, the tough part is they didn't beat them. They split with BYU, 1-2, lost one. So, I mean, their losses, they lost a 5-point game against Loyola Chicago that was scheduled at the last minute. They were like, you know, St. Mary's postponed, so they were like, well, we got to get a game. So they pulled up Loyola Chicago, lost that game by 5. So it's like, you know, I don't know really how to grade them, but they're terrific. They have a lot of scoring as far as options. They've had at least 5 people score 18 or more points in a game this year. 5 different guys in Shabazz, Masalski, Bouye, Stefanini, and who's the other one? Oh, Rishwane. So you got a lot of balance. They're senior laden. That's the other thing. Their top 3 scorers in Bouye, Masalski, and Shabazz are all seniors.
Well, Bouye and Masalski are graduates, so not only they're seniors, they're 5-year guys.
Yeah,
I mean they're ultra experienced, especially that starting lineup. They're guys they bring off the bench. They don't have as much experience. They're a little bit younger, but generally they bring 3 guys for the most part. Vova Markovetsky, the 7'2" sophomore. They don't play much, but when they play him, he's still 7'2".
Yeah,
so he still can't shoot over him.
What's the X factor for you? The only thing I'll say this, I think San Francisco, it's amazing that they have ended their tournament drought. I mean, this is the home of Bill Russell.
Yeah.
Haven't been to the tournament in since 1998. Is that how long it's been, I believe?
Yeah.
So you have a team that hasn't been. It's a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm there. And are fresh off of a 10-point loss to #1 Gonzaga. I mean, that's they gave them a dogfight. What's your X factor?
I think it turns on tournament experience, and this is the edge that the Racers have here. They are evenly matched, but when it comes to tournament experience, they are not evenly matched, and the Racers do have a decided advantage there. I think a little bit of an edge in overall athleticism, especially the total perimeter game defensively. I think that's going to go the Racers' way. And I'm not sure that they're used to seeing the speed and quickness of Juice Hill. We'll find out. But on the other side, they don't have to worry about a 7-foot guy that can stand at the top of the key and just bury one after hit 44% from 3 like the Gonzaga kid can.
Oh, Chet Holmgren?
Yeah. So we have a good guy. He shoots pretty well in KJ, but he doesn't shoot 44%. But, I mean, they're used to having to try to defend that kind of stuff. So
right.
Those are things they're used to. I think I still think the experience and the overall athleticism will go the Racers' way.
I think it's going to be an interesting game, and I'll briefly address it here just because it is obviously a talking point. I won't see you until whatever happens with the NCAA tournament. But obviously a lot of momentum – / discussion around the possibility of a round of 32 matchup with, you know, the University of Kentucky.
Yeah.
The talking points are there. I'm not going to deny that. There's absolutely history that can be made with that game. Neither team has played, not even a JV game. It's never happened. They've never met on the same court, never battled it out, never even remotely sniffed each other's, you know.
We were on their schedule 1 year.
Oh, what year was that?
It's when Scott Edgar was the coach, because I saw their early schedule released on. It's like, huh, I didn't know we were playing them. And then I inquired. It's like, well, we're not. That was when they started adding the regional universities, when they decided they would do that.
Sure.
Play Moorhead 1 year, Eastern 1 year, so-and-so. And from what I understand, they scheduled the Racers, had us down on their schedule, but it was selected as a date, and they had, I guess, contacted the Racers. They just assumed since it was our turn, we'd know that. Already had something scheduled. So when I think Coach Edgar was the head coach, and let's just say it didn't work out. I'll see if I can get some more details from Kenny Roth, and we may discuss that.
Interesting.
If that game comes up.
Yeah.
To see how close we were to playing that one.
Yeah,
so,
I don't...
stay tuned for Saturday if the Racers and the Wildcats win.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about the NCAA tournament is anything can happen. San Francisco can win. And you know what? I'm going to say it. St. Peter's can win. I mean, we can say all day long they can't. They're not favored to. They are,
well,
you know, that's...
The 15s and the 16 and the 14s and the 13s and the 12s, they're never favored either.
No.
But sometimes it happens.
Sometimes it happens. Excuse me. Anything is possible. Ever since Virginia lost to UMBC, you can just never take anything for granted.
Yeah.
You know,
now, Kentucky would have to shoot it sort of like they did against Tennessee to give St. Peter's a chance to win.
Yeah.
And even then, they might not win, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But if they shoot it that bad, St. Peter's would have a shot.
Yeah, Kentucky has great size. There's no reason
and
to even...
And then they got... arguably the best player in the country.
Yeah,
that dude's, my gosh,
Oscar Sheboy's good.
He is something.
He's really
to watch,
good,
man.
Yeah,
he really is.
And I'm not gonna. I've been to a couple of Kentucky games this year. He's phenomenal to watch. He's a lot of fun to watch, and he's a terrific player. But you know that. I mean, honestly, should there be a situation where they both play each other? I think it's interesting. I wrote a lot about it this past weekend. Clearly, the NCAA tournament committee had something in mind. When that happened, putting both of those teams with the possibility, the tantalizing possibility in Indianapolis, you certainly have a lot of the fan base that really, there's a Venn diagram of fans, Neil, is maybe the best way to put it, that wear both colors of blue.
Do you know who else is out there with us, though, right? So if someone has the full session, there's a school from the SEC called Tennessee.
Yeah.
And should they win, and then their fans have night sessions, do you think they'll pull for Murray State for Kentucky?
They'll pull for Murray State.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly, they
yeah.
will.
Yeah.
I'm just, and, you know, we'll have Racer fans probably pulling for Kentucky in the early game. We'll have Kentucky fans pulling for the Racer game, the late game on Thursday. Then suddenly, should they both win, that's it.
Yeah, we're not friends anymore.
But there'll be some, you know, I know people. They're evenly divided. They didn't go to either school, or they went to both schools, and they're evenly divided on both. And it's a tough one for them.
Hey, the dishwasher
it's a
has
tough one.
The dishwasher has a bachelor's degree from Kentucky and a master's degree from Murray State. When you live in the Commonwealth, excuse me, we make these jokes all the time. You know, there are plenty of people with degrees from Western and Murray. There are plenty of, and that's a hated rivalry.
That'd be my wife.
Right. Yeah. See, it happens. We all make these bad decisions.
She got one from Western and then figured out, I need to go get it right, and got one from Murray.
So right. Exactly. But there are so many people that have Austin. There are people that have Austin Peay degrees and Murray State degrees,
yeah,
and that's a hated rivalry.
Well, a lot of times, though, you make those decisions based on what's best for your education,
yeah, not
cost.
Not basketball.
And what they, you don't, honestly. You don't base that. I'm not saying no one has ever done that, but not many people that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They base it on, is it more cost effective? This fits my schedule. This fits my budget is kind of what that fits.
Couple of other points. I mean, obviously, there's a lot you can talk about. Number one, you're taking a 20-game win streak into the NCAA tournament. You're 20th in the country. You did fall one spot in the AP poll after not playing for, you know, 10 days.
That was all Iowa.
Yeah.
That was their big leap. If they had lost in the first round, that would have not happened. They'd still be 19th.
Yeah. So you just a couple of other quick points. The Racers are healthy. I think San Francisco is healthy. You have a scenario where you're going in with every tool in the shed to get something done here and hopefully make a Sweet 16. It is a tough road. There's no getting around that. It's one of the tougher roads to make a Sweet 16, really, for any team. Because I'm going to be honest, if Kentucky wins, whoever they get, be it Murray State or San Francisco, they're not thrilled with that. You have Number one, you've not been able to shoot the three really well lately.
Right. Yeah.
Both teams are good at defending it. So it's going to be fun. It should be fun. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. So. It's March Madness for a reason, and it'll be madness for somebody. That's the thing. You don't know who will get upset, but there will be upsets happening this week. And could be some big ones.
Could be some big ones. I totally agree. I want to switch over to women's basketball, give them their due diligence here, because number one, after they finished the season 22-9, there might have been a brief moment where you're like, okay, that was our season. We made it. We tried. Everybody was kind of healthy toward the end of the season. We gave it our best. Had a tough fourth quarter. Tennessee Tech was good. Belmont was better. We finished third, which is where we were picked. Let's move forward. And instead, the Racers have a really unique opportunity in front of them with the women's NIT. And this is a Vanderbilt squad that's good at home. I will say that. They're 11-5 at home. They really struggled against the SEC, and they were not great on the road at all. They were 1-10
right.
On the road. They don't shoot it very well, but I'm just saying all these things because it's like a trifecta of like amazing opportunity that Murray State women's basketball has experienced in the last 48 hours. NIT, a commitment from a local player, and Rochelle Turner extended it for four years.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Well, I just did the Hey Coach show and forgot to mention that. I feel like an idiot and just talked to
you're
her about
that. You're mentioning
it here now. Oh, my gosh.
Neil, it's okay, dude. You literally, like...
I feel like an idiot now. And I actually mentioned it, that we're going to talk to her about that and the extension, and totally whiffed on it.
But, I mean, you guys had plenty to talk about. That's what's so crazy about women's basketball right now. Yeah. It's not like, oh, season's over, we're done. Like, we got another chapter. No matter what happens, even on Thursday, you've got the extension, you've got the recruiting class coming in, the three, you know, two guards and a forward coming in next year, and you've got the possibility of Macy Turley returning.
Nobody knows for sure.
Yeah, nobody knows for sure, but, you know, I mean, she's very likely.
That announcement could be coming, or at least one way or another.
Yeah, and so with that situation, the momentum is high.
Right.
The commitment I'm talking about, let's just go ahead and talk about that really quick.
Yep.
Just in the middle of the selection show on Sunday, everybody's ranting and raving, having a good time, hooping and hollering. I walk outside, I'm talking to, you know, mom and dad, and Destiny's like, well, by the way, I committed to Murray State 10 minutes ago.
Right.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
She was like, oh, yeah, I just committed to Murray State. And yeah. I was like, Destiny Thomas, McCracken County forward slash guard, who's 5'11", 6 foot, you know.
22 points, 9 rebounds in her state tournament game.
Yeah. For her
5 steals.
5 steals, yeah, 3 assists.
Yeah.
She did shoot 7-for-20, but Southwestern, terrific team, did a really good job defensively. She still scored 22 points. Found a way to try to will them to a win. She is a very, very good basketball player, and I'm just going to go ahead and get into it. Neil, this past season, she averaged 18 points and 6 rebounds per game for a McCracken team that went 31-2, won their first ever first region championship. She's a member of the class of 2023.
Right.
And she also shot 54% from the field, 31% from three, and 74% from the line. Oh, and she's just a junior.
And that's one of the reasons you think McCracken will probably be back in that tournament next year.
There's certainly a target on their back. Marshall's going to be tough. Graves will be tough again. You know, Callaway probably year two under Maddie Waldrop will want to be, you know, pushing, you know, trying to see what they can do with, you know, Sailor Lowe and whatever they can do. But, like, yeah. I mean, you return everybody except Shamaya Day, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe that's right.
And that's nasty.
Yeah.
When you return Claire Johnson and you return, you know, Caroline Sibbles, and you return everything else wrapped all around that.
Buchanan.
Yeah, Mickey Buchanan. You're just unbelievable athleticism just from those four players, plus a ton of rotation help. And you graduate again. Shamaya Day, who was extremely pivotal this year, but it looks good. It's the best way to put it. It looks good.
Yeah, it does. And doing my research for the tournament, I didn't realize this. You mentioned Marshall County. I didn't know that Skylar Waller, who transferred to Marshall County, led the state in free throw shooting
once again
at 90%.
She's good, man.
As a freshman,
Golden Child 2.0.
Holy smokes!
Yeah.
So that's So, do you tell her to go work on it and try to shoot 91 if you're the, I mean, or is not, hey, 90 is good enough?
Hey, listen, call Macy Turley. She'll help you get to 95.
But 90's not bad.
And I'm gonna tell you right now, I just a total sidetrack there. I think as Skylar gets healthier, she will have an opportunity to play two sports at the next level. It's just going to be a decision on what she wants it to be. If she wants it to be basketball or golf, I think she's got an opportunity.
There will be some schools that would give her both opportunities.
Sure.
And that might be the school she goes to.
Absolutely. So I'm not going to – I have no idea what her D1 opportunity is or D2 or NAIA opportunity is. I know she wishes she probably was a little taller.
Yeah.
But good Lord. I mean, she's a hell of a rebounder and a hell of a scorer. And a good defender. So that bodes well in the future.
McCracken had a great year. You mentioned the Southwestern team they lost to. They were able to get to the Final Four when
– Lost actually, to Bullet East.
Actually, yeah, and then lost in that game. They lost Michaela Nordis to an ankle injury like with a minute to go in their quarterfinal game, and she could play about a minute of the next game. So any chance they had went out the window. But I'm not sure they would have beaten Bullet East because of 6'6 Gracie Merkel, who's going to Bellarmine.
She's good.
Yeah, she's because she's in high school and has other things going on, she'll get to college. She needs to get into a better shape. But once she is in that kind of shape that they're going to get her in college, she'll be a dominant player in the A-Sun. She'll be a 3 or 4 year all-star if they can take care of that.
We say these things, and we'll come back to some more pressing news about Murray State women's basketball, but we're leading down a rabbit hole. We're going to find a carrot here because it's coming.
It's gone.
Because you get to the championship game, and you have Bullet East versus
Sacred Heart.
Donna Moore. Is pronounced.
Donna Moyer.
Moyer.
I don't know. M-O-I-R. How she gets that out of that, I don't know, but that's the way it's pronounced.
I thought it was Moore.
No, it's Moyer.
Like Moore. Like,
but it's not.
Like Moore. Like
that's what it looks like.
It does. Donna Moyer. Okay, so didn't mean any disrespect because she has what 600+ wins in her career.
No, she's 744.
What? So I was right. 600+.
Right.
Add another 140. Back to back state championships, but she has multiple state championships. She's like Tom Brady, right?
She has
unretired.
Five.
So she does.
And
she
her school has six.
Yeah, she has a whole fist of rings.
Yeah.
Like Tom Brady.
And then. She has six because she played on the other one.
True.
So she's got kind of something to do with all six of their championships.
Unreal.
Yeah.
But the reason we're discussing this now is that there's a recruit that Sacred Heart has that Murray State's trying to target. Murray State, Rochelle Turner, I want to digress into this slightly. Rochelle has been scouting the KHSAA state tournament now for the last 3 or 4 years.
Had a coach up there for this one.
Yeah, naturally so.
She didn't go because they are practicing for their NIT game with Vanderbilt. So,
right.
They did have a coach up there to look at Reagan Bender. Bender is one of those kind of a Swiss Army knife. She can rebound. She can score. She will be better, I think, as time goes on, but they're on her pretty early. And she's won, and she gets great coaching from Donna Moyer. And they'll have a chance to win three straight. They've done it one time before back in the 70s. And they'll have a chance to do this one. I said back in the 70s. That's not the, back in the 2000s. And they'll have a chance to do it again next year because they're fairly loaded. They have a freshman in Zakiya Johnson who has over 40 offers as a freshman.
Yep.
By the time she's ready to go as a junior, it'll probably be well over 100, I would guess. She can just go wherever she wants to go.
She's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know Murray State's recruiting her, but, I mean.
Yeah, well, I mean, you at least want to throw your card there. Hey, if you decide, we'd love to ask.
Give us a call. Why don't you come play with your teammate, former teammate Reagan Bender.
Yeah. It'd be like me asking out Salma Hayek when I was single. I mean, hey, I'd love to go out with you. Here's my number.
Yeah.
Yeah, just in case. In case she's like, you know, I think I will. But you know.
I'd love to move to Murray, Kentucky.
Probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But no harm, no foul, right? That's it.
Got to shoot your shot.
That's it.
Another player I know for sure that the Racers are on is Trinity Rowe, point guard from Pikeville.
Right.
Pikeville, correct me if I'm wrong, they were in the state tournament.
Yes.
Had a tough, tough early entry loss, actually.
They played really – that's one of those where you looked out there and go, they're going to get killed. because they're undersized at every position, but they're like a bunch of little bulldogs out there. They yep. gave in to nobody, and I was very impressed with them. Based on the size they were going against, they looked really good.
Yeah,
I like what I saw out of her.
And Trinity's got a pretty bright future. Yeah, and it has already played well, and that's now back-to-back state tournaments. Yeah. For her as point guard at Pikeville.
And they still have a lot of youth. They are likely going to come back there next year too.
Yeah. So we say these things. We started with like the commitment of Destiny Thomas, class of 2023, and we have now backtracked all the way around to why Rochelle wasn't at the state tournament this year, because preparation for the WNIT. This is a Vanderbilt team, and again, I know we've digressed, but it was a terrific rabbit hole that needed to be explored. Brene Alexander... I believe it's
entered the transfer portal.
Right. Who leads the team in scoring yes. for Vanderbilt.
So will she play Thursday? Will she not play? And if she does play, is her heart gonna, I mean, I don't know.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Like I'm
that's a weird situation to be in.
This is a Vanderbilt team. Well, here's the thing. This is a Vanderbilt team that has some youth that isn't, I mean, you've got Jordan Cambridge. That's not youth, but I'm just saying I'm just going down their leading scoring. Yes. Ayanna Moore is a freshman. I believe that's how you pronounce it. Ayanna Moore. She's a freshman. You've got Jordan Cambridge, Sasha Washington, Kaylin Smith, Demi Washington. Those are your top six scorers right there. And again, we just mentioned Renee Alexander's in the transfer portal. And I believe she's a senior.
Yes, she is.
So she's a graduate, yeah. you know, transfer. But I mean, you've got my goodness, I mean, as far as freshmen are concerned, Sasha Washington and Ayanna Moore, maybe that's why they're in the NIT. She's transferring, yeah. but we've got these two freshmen. We got to get developed.
And it could be.
The one thing that I will say about Vanderbilt, and I think could be a problem for Murray State, is their size. Yeah. Sasha Washington is 6'2". Demi Washington is 5'10". Kaylin Smith is 5'10". Brene Alexander, if she plays, is 5'10". Jordan Cambridge, 5'9". Just a lot of size that Murray State's going to have to combat with.
Well, Rochelle told me that the one thing that Vanderbilt does really, really well is turn teams over.
Yes, they do.
And the one thing is that the Racers are very poor at times is turning the ball over. So I know it'll be implored, highly suggested by Rochelle, that if we turn it over a lot, we will lose this game.
Yep.
Because that's probably what will happen. But if they can take care of the ball, the Racers have, I think, a good chance of going down there and getting a win.
So to that point, and I wanted to bring this up, Vanderbilt's had trouble scoring this year. Mm-hmm. They're averaging 62.5 points per game on 39.7% shooting from the field as a team. Not terrific. 31% shooters from the arc and 68% free throw shooters. As a team, don't particularly rebound it well. They've got a plus 1.3 rebounding margin. Turning it over, you know, they have 343 steals in 32 games. They average almost 10, a little yeah. more than 10 steals a
so
game.
So there you go.
And their top larcenist is Jordan Cambridge. She has 117 steals. She's averaging almost 4 steals a game
wow.
as a guard. Now, she's not shooting it terrific. She's shooting 38% from the field, almost 39%.
It's still quite an impact per game, though.
Oh, absolutely. She's a defensive nightmare
yeah.
With great size, so and great length and great speed. So that's where you see them just have a lot of an advantage. If I'm going to give yeah. an advantage, that's advantage
that,
to them.
And playing at home.
Yeah, the advantage to the Racers, we're going to give a couple of points to the Racers. I think Caitlin Young can have a really good game here. Yeah. It's extremely possible that she can get down low and cause them some real matchup issues. I also don't know who they put on Alexis Burpo, and that's another thing that I wonder might could play a factor for Murray. If this is Burpo's last game, mm-hmm. you know, if this is Lex Mays' last game, we don't know those answers yet, but if those are going
to... Well, I think they announced it's senior night. Lex has a job lined up in June. So.
Okay, well, there we go. So
she's not coming back.
That's clear.
Yeah.
Okay. Alexis Burpo could be an X factor in this situation, just like she's been in 31 games this year. If she can slash, get to her left hand, switch to the right hand, get inside, make 80% of her free throws as she's done this year, she'll be a problem for Vanderbilt. That's been their only issue, is that they haven't really been able to score, and they don't rebound well. And they struggled against the SEC, which, I mean, a lot of teams did. I mean, look at how tough the SEC was this year, to the point where Kentucky surprised everyone and made their run.
And Murray played two SEC teams, played great against Missouri. I thought they had them beat.
Yep.
And let it kind of get by them in the last minute, and played over a half well against Florida, and Florida pulled away late on them.
Florida's athleticism and turnovers, you know, played a key factor.
But the thing is, the Racers won't be just shocked, like, oh, we've never seen anything like this. They've seen it before.
Yeah.
So they played in tough games, tough environments, and kudos to Rochelle for putting them through a schedule that prepared them for this moment. A
couple of quick nuggets just about their schedule. They did have a 20-point win against Tennessee Tech. Of course, that was at home. They had a 10-point win against Jacksonville State, also at home. They lost to Middle Tennessee, which we know how good Middle, you know, was this year. They had an 11-point win at Rutgers. They had a 30-point win hosting Chattanooga, which it's hard to compare those things. Vanderbilt, again, good at home. They started their regular season in conference play with a big win against Arkansas. And then after that, just kind of, you know, they had the big win against Kentucky when Kentucky was kind of still trying to figure things out about suspensions, and, you know, Kyra Elzy was trying to figure out what are we doing. They won that game 65-57. Then they came back and beat Auburn. And then from that point forward, they lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of their last 10.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just kind of got away from them there. Again, they fought Kentucky hard on February 17th. That's probably the last really good game. Had a decent win against Florida and a decent win against Texas A&M.
And Ed, many times you're around schools, and there's just been a couple of Racer teams in this category, too, over my 31 years. If you don't make the NCAA tournament, you're just not too juiced about playing in these others. And not to say that you just kind of halfway go about it. That's not what I mean. But, I mean, your heart's just not in it. If your heart's not in it, it can be a factor in games like this. And I think the Racers' heart's in it. They have realized, look, we got something building here. We're winning. We're now in postseason play. That's from here on, this is the expectation. Not, let's keep our fingers crossed and hope we have a winning year. That's done. We're done with that.
Yeah.
That's not what they hope for anymore. They're going to play for a championship and play to get into postseason play every year.
Is this the first NIT bid for them since 2009? Is that right?
I believe it's in the story. I read it briefly, and I think it was like at 6 this morning when I read it. So
yeah, it's been a long day. I think it's 2009. I'll double-check that. But we digress. That's Racer basketball right now. That's where we are. If you don't have enough to do on Thursday, you've got Murray boys basketball opening up the first round of the KHAA Sweet 16. They face
Henry Clay.
That's right. It's Henry Clay. Okay. And that'll be a dogfight just all on its own. My goodness.
Yeah. That one's locally on WNBS, shameless plug.
Hey, you're allowed to have the shameless plug. We've got a few other quick nuggets we want to talk about. It's a late evening here. Neil, when, real quick, while I transition here, when do you guys head out to Indianapolis?
We leave 1:15 tomorrow. We'll be flying out on Anchor, I think. So
you're busing to Indianapolis.
We are busing.
I started to say that was good. Yeah. That was good. There's no freaking way you guys are flying to Indianapolis.
But we're flying on anchors. I say that. Eric told me that the NCAA assigns all the travel. I think you can suggest, and we're really happy with Anchor, so hopefully that's who we'll have.
Okay.
If not, it'll be someone that the NCAA assigns, but we love the guy who drives us. George is awesome from Anchor. He's great.
Unbelievable. So real quick, just a couple of other nuggets. Baseball's back.
Neil. Yes. Thank goodness. And I got a text. Here's the reason I'm really happy. The first week of May, I have tickets for 3 games, Cardinals, Orioles.
I've got an Orioles hat. Does that mean I get to go?
No, you're not going.
Damn it.
But that was starting to concern me that was going to be in jeopardy. And while I'm at the Sweet 16, I get a text from my son, baseball is back. And then that made my day because I was thinking about, I got another game to do tonight. This, and then suddenly I was juiced. Ready to go, but yeah, I'm set. In fact, the Cardinals' first spring training broadcast, as far as radio, is Friday. So that's how soon we are to be getting baseball that we can actually see and hear.
I don't know if I want to see any baseball this year.
Well, this week I don't care because I'm still in basketball mode. But well, you don't want to see any baseball?
No.
Well, you're a Reds fan. I don't blame you.
Yeah. We just sold everybody. We traded Sonny Gray. Uh-huh. We traded Jesse Winker. We traded Eugenio Suarez. We traded the, I'm sure we traded like the bus. I'm sure we traded like two doorstops like holding the doors
yesterday?
Open.
When did this happen?
Today. Sonny Gray was traded 2 days ago. Eugenio Suarez and Jesse Winker were traded 2 hours ago.
They're
3 hours ago.
Pete Rose back? What do they got going?
I don't know. Do you want to know? No, Neil. Do you want to hear a stat today?
Let's hear a stat
that made me poop my pants. Who is this?
Don't do it again, though.
Yeah. Oh, no,
okay,
I might.
Thank you.
I'm really upset. And I'm in a white chair right
all
now.
Right.
And I drive a white Jeep. Who is the sixth highest paid Cincinnati Red right now?
I don't even know if I can name any Cincinnati Reds
right
now.
I think you can.
Because you threw all of them out. Joey Votto.
No.
Okay.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Ken Griffey Jr.?
Yeah.
They're still paying him?
The back end of his contract.
Oh, my.
He's already in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I'm freaking pissed, Neil.
Well, that's a good deal. Not a Bobby Bonilla good deal, but that's a pretty that's a pretty good deal.
It's not Bobby Bonilla Day, but my God.
Yeah.
We're paying the back end of Ken Griffey Jr.'s contract. It's the sixth most expensive contract, according to Spotrac.
That might give you an idea of why you're struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me sick to my damn stomach, Neil. Yeah. Like, I'm fine with us, like, trying to fix the books and, you know, and keep a low profile, play small ball, money ball, fine. That works in certain markets. Probably could work in the National League Central right now, save for the Cardinals, who look poised to combat with Milwaukee for the NL Central championship.
Who knows?
Who knows? For the division crown. However, we had a pretty good thing going last year offensively, and we needed an arm. We traded Bauer. That ended up being a pretty good idea. I didn't like it at the time, but whoa, didn't know that was going to go crazy. And then, what are we doing? We just dumped like 35% of our offense and one of our better arms in the pen and as a starter, just in that locker room.
Yeah.
What the F?
Yeah, I was all in basketball mode today, so I didn't hear any of those
spoiler
things. Holy smokes!
Yeah, so there.
I can see where you're unhappy, and but it's a good time to come into the light, Ed.
Yeah,
come over to here. No, come on. Here's your chance.
Not doing it.
You've been on the dark side for so long. Come on over. We got cookies. we got beer. We have an arch. You don't have that where you are.
I do love games in St. Louis. I won't deny it.
We got all sorts of stuff there. The heat. Don't have as much heat as we have there, and the humidity. We got both.
No. I'm going to do a quick racer tie to baseball and the diamond. Murray State softball moved to 15-8 today.
Did they win both today?
Do I have the schedule in front of me? I do not know. Neil, do you ask me about that?
Well, I know they won the first, and then they were playing another game. Dave Winder had to come set up the equipment for the Hey Coach show tonight because Maya Watford does the PA, I think, for softball.
That's awesome.
Dave, I'm running behind.
Yes, they did. They won both. They beat Western Illinois 2-0. They beat St. Thomas 7-0 in the doubleheader.
Double shutouts.
So double shutouts. That's the one thing. And let's quickly dive into that. Murray State softball is 15-8, and their pitching has been terrific. Jenna Weber has a 1.18 ERA. She's 7-4. Four losses with a 1.18 ERA. And then you have Hannah James, who's 129, 6-3.
That's
really
good.
And they have four hitters that are hitting above the Mendoza line.
That's the key, because last year they didn't hit well.
Couldn't get any offense.
Starting to get a little offense this year.
You've got Logan Bronmeyer hitting .375. You have Gracie Osborne hitting .344. Lily Fisher, .322. Lindsey Carroll, the former McCracken County star, hitting .294. After a tough year last year, Sierra Gilmore's hitting .274. And then you have Isabella Wilson, who in 16 games and six starts is hitting .353. So Chloe Jacques playing quite a bit. She's played in 23 games. She's hitting .271. So, yeah, if you can hit .270 or better and get, I don't know, 1.18 and 1.29 ERA with your relief.
And win some games.
As a team, your team ERA, Neil, at 15-8 is .138.
That's great.
Yeah. And then a quick transition to Murray State baseball. You are undefeated at home, 10-0. You're 10-4, tough road, but you played some great games on the road. I mean, you played a three-game series against Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay. What was the other one game on the road?
Kentucky.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. And another great pitching situation. You have Jacob Pennington playing terrific baseball on both sides. He's just pulling a Shohei Ohtani. He's playing well at the plate and pitching. 2-0 with a 1.15 ERA, 15 innings pitch, 15 and two-thirds. And, oh, by the way, he's also in 10 games, 9 starts in offense. He's hitting .394 with 2 homers, 7 RBI, and 13 hits.
All right.
It's pretty good.
How's Slunder doing now?
Slunder is currently hitting .308 after 14 games.
Okay.
With 4 triples.
Yeah, I saw him get two in one game.
A lot of speed. Well, you've called the one game.
The Bellarmine game. I was called into emergency duty.
Yeah.
They called everyone else, and no one else was available, so I was at the bottom of the barrel.
And you like bottom.
Yeah,
you're the last guy.
I love doing it, but I'm just telling you, I'm not the guy that they have other guys lined up, but none of them were available.
One of the things that our friend of the show, Dave Winder, hello, Dave, has said is that.
OBC, RBI record holder, by the way.
Right, OBC.
And he has 1 year, only 1 year to worry about a racer breaking that record.
Right, because soon it'll be on Missouri Valley.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He said speed would be the answer this year. Maybe not as much power as we've seen in the last 2 or 3 years. I looked at that number, hearing that in my mind from Dave. The Racers are 34 of 36 on steal attempts in 14 games.
That's amazing percentage-wise.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing percentage-wise, and you're getting about 2.5 steals a game. And that's fun baseball. Want to switch over really quick, too, as we continue to talk Racer athletics. Murray State's got a couple of point guards in the NBA. Neil,
I know you're not. That.
Yeah, you, rumor has it.
And one of them will be playing in Indianapolis. And you're going like, what? We're bringing Ja with us? Yeah, he's going to be playing on the same floor the Racers are on, but he's going to be playing Tuesday night. Son of a gun.
So the Racers are going to roll into Indianapolis. Any chance you guys watch Memphis versus the Pacers?
I don't know the ticket situation or what's lined up, but here's generally what my night is.
How serendipitous is that?
It would be awesome, but mine's going to depend on when the Friday night meal is with the team. So if I don't get to eat the food, then I'm not going to buy my own food.
That's fair. Ridiculous.
Just so I can watch an NBA game.
Wait, do they play Tuesday night?
I've seen John Morant play lots of games.
Do they play Tuesday night or they play Friday night?
They play Tuesday night.
Okay, that's incredible.
They play Tuesday, then they'll, I guess, pull that floor off, put the college floor on, because they can't have any NBA logos on there. And it'll be there for Wednesday's shoot-around and all that stuff.
That's awesome.
But yeah, we'll be in town at the same time John Morant is for Tuesday. It's just weird that that works out that way.
It is unbelievable.
But Ja's having a great season. I think since the, I told you a few shows ago that he wouldn't get 50, and he didn't.
Yeah.
He got 52.
Yeah, he got 52. But,
So Campaign has just been, he's been on a tear, needed him, and he's been awesome.
Absolutely. So I want to go into real quick what Ja's done. If you go back to February 2nd, they have gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 4. And in that time, Ja has scored 23, 33, 30, 23, 26, 44, 20, 46, 52, 38, 25, 22, 24, 37, 17. It's like I'm calling lottery numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, he was a lottery pick. See what I did there?
He did. And at 17, he had 10 assists in that game, I think, right?
Yeah, 10 assists against Oklahoma City at Oklahoma City. In March, he is averaging 27 points per game through 6, 7.5 assists, 5 rebounds, and just 2.8 turnovers on 82% from the free throw line, 32% from the arc, and 46% from the field. And we switch over to Cam. You've already mentioned it. Not only has he increased his points per game, his rebounds per game, and his assists per game, but he's been shoved into starting duty with the injury to Chris Paul. And they've had to lean on him a little bit more because Devin Booker's had to miss a couple of games for COVID. And what has he done? Well, in March... Let's see. It's kind of crazy because in March, Cam has put up 8 assists, 16 assists, 8 assists, 12 assists, 10 assists, 4 assists, and 11 assists. He is averaging almost, it's so close, a double-double.
That's great.
He's doubled the career amount of double-doubles in this stretch.
Right.
Like, Chris Paul will eventually return. Phoenix is the best team in the league. Since he's been inserted into a starting role, they are 4-2. They're 5-2 in March. Their two losses came to Milwaukee and Toronto, two teams that are very likely going to make the playoffs. Milwaukee might play in the finals again as they start to get healthy. So we say all these things. Cam is averaging 15.3 points and 9.9 assists per game, 2.4 turnovers. He has a plus 8.3 rating in March. Has he been sensational offensively? Maybe not. He's only shooting 40% from the field and 37% from three, but he has made a three in every game but one, and that was a one-point win at home against New York. And in that game, he delivered the game-winning assist to Cam Johnson, who buried it from 37 feet. I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm not saying Cam is an all-star. I'm not saying anything like, oh my God, he's like the fifth best point guard in the league. It's not like that at all. I'm saying he has risen to an occasion in which Phoenix not only paid him 3 years and $19 million, but he's come out and he's putting up career-high assist numbers right now.
And that's what they wanted from him is if someone gets hurt, injured, sick, you got to be able to come in and carry the load for us and help us win games. And he's done that.
Yeah, I'm hesitating because I'm just looking at these numbers. I mean, here's his turnover numbers in those seven games. 2-4-3, 1-4-3-0. He went plus 35 against the hapless Lakers, who at the beginning of the season we thought were just going to be the be-all, end-all, wrapped around LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook. That just seems to not be working. So we've digressed long enough, Neil, but the Racers, I mean, it's just a busy week.
And the Racers, by the way, that's a CBS game. So they're network TV. And when you're the last game on in the night, everyone's watching basketball, all eyes are going to be on the Racers at that time. That's that late game on CBS. So that's the exact spot they want to be in.
Yeah, I told Keith Jaco of the Mayfield Messenger. He's getting to cover it for Paxton Media. I'm really excited for him and that opportunity. I remember being in Hartford, Connecticut, and how much fun that was. In San Diego as well. Really two neat experiences for me. I told him, man, all eyes are going to be on that show, that game, regardless of what happens. If San Francisco comes out and plays well, if Murray State comes out and plays well, if they both come out and play well, and somebody wins a close game, all eyes on the country are going to be on that game because it's just perfect timing and people want to know what's going to happen.
We had that happen one time, as far as I know. I mean, someone could dig it up, but in all the years that I've done it, we played Duke in Charlotte and had the late game. And that was, I think, kind of one where they didn't think it would be that great. And Vincent Rainey took a midcourt shot just inside the midcourt line that would have tied it. Missed a three at the buzzer to tie Murray State and Duke. So an intriguing game. And we got lots of bounce off of that, too, because of publicity and how well they played against Duke. But Trajan Lane did a little too much for us that night.
Murray's been pretty good on TV this year. I'll close with that.
Yeah, they have.
If you go look at the games in which they've had some national television and showcasing their talents, especially on Thursday nights.
And they're good on Thursdays.
They're really good on Thursdays.
And on Saturdays, it doesn't seem to matter who they play, they're going to fall behind. And then at the end, make it interesting.
That's just the way it works. I'll just close with this. You can rub the lucky foot. You can scratch your head, pace around a table, wear the same shirt you've been wearing all year. I don't know what to say. I know the Racers have not experienced a loss in 2022. You don't know how that ends. No one knows how it ends. But it's been a great season no matter what happens.
Well, Matt told me at the coach's show tonight, he's glad to be celebrating another week without a loss. And we had another one this past week. And that's been the way it's been since 2022. And he says, I'm not ever going to be one to overlook that.
No.
I'm happy to go any week without a loss. And every week in 2022, the Racers have been unbeaten. Every week.
Yeah.
And here we are in mid-March. So that's really good.
Yeah.
No one else can say that. They're an elite team in terms of wins with 30 victories.
Three teams in the country with 30 wins.
There you go.
South Dakota State, Murray State, Arizona. That's it.
Yeah.
31, 30, and 30. And South Dakota State got a fun draw. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the Jackrabbits do. And then Arizona, of course, a very deserved one seed. So probably an argument there that maybe they could have been the number one overall. But, you know, the Zags got
little
it.
Note, I was texting with James Kane and Dayton. They had hoped to make the tournament, didn't. But they got a number one seed in the NIT.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's awesome.
Number one seed in the NIT. And guess what? They can't play at home for two games because
they host the NCAA tournament.
So they're on the road at Toledo for their first game.
That's not fun at all because Toledo's good.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Man. That's,
but happy dancing. Hopefully everyone has terrific brackets. And it all starts Tuesday night.
Yeah.
With the first four games or whatever, the first of the first four games, whatever it is.
March Madness is here, man.
It is.
Neil, appreciate it, man. Have fun. Have a safe trip to Indianapolis. And I will say this, I don't want to jinx anything, but if certain things occur, I will be in Indianapolis on Saturday. So we'll see how it goes. And if they don't, basketball's basketball. Didn't bounce the way you wanted it to. And that's the beauty of March.
It is.
All right, Neil. Have fun.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
See you.